Hey, it's Lori. So spring is in the air here in Michigan. The flowers are starting to bloom. My eyes are itching. Actually, yesterday it was in the 80s, and I was like, whoa, did we have spring? Or did, like typical Michigan, did we just jump from winter to summer? Well, I am excited, though, because that means that I get to go out and do some camping, some hiking on the Michigan State Trails, and I get to bring that all to you. So, season 4 is going to be a special mini season that takes you along with me, and we get to go to some of the best Michigan State parks to hike at and to camp at. I'm really looking forward to showing you my beautiful state. However, before I bring you to Michigan, we still have a few more episodes left of season 3. Today, I am featuring the Art Loeb Trail. Zach Cuss, who lives near the Art Loeb Trail, he gets to explore that trail like it's in his own backyard, which basically it sort of is. So we get to learn about hiking the 30-ish miles in one day. That's his annual event to celebrate his birthday month. And also, you know, section hiking it, doing different through hikes of it. So we're going to learn a lot about this trail. And also we're going to learn about some of the other places he enjoys hiking at. And we even touch a little bit on mountain biking. So for you mountain biking enthusiasts, listen in, because we're going to talk about mountain biking in Pisgah. So that being said, let's get to my conversation. Let's get to those North Carolina mountains and do some hiking. So I'm here with Zach Cuss. Hey, Zach.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good.
Good.
So this is our second time, actually, yes, having an interview. First time, something happened to the files. I have no idea, but it's great that we got to re-record, and we'll see if we remember what we talked about.
All right, sounds good. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay, so tell me a little bit about, I know you're in North Carolina, so tell me a little bit about where you're at, kind of, you know, how you grew up hiking and things like that.
Yeah. So I currently live in a small little town called Penrose. It's actually just outside of Brevard, which is a little bit larger town that is about 20 miles south of Asheville, North Carolina. I was raised in an even smaller little community out in Rosman, North Carolina, and my folks got me into hiking very young age. Some of the earliest memories I have with my dad were hiking in Pisgah. You know, he used to ride bikes quite a bit, and I remember waiting in the National Forest on the side of the roads to watch him come down the mountain and on this Altamont Mitchell and such. So lots of time in the mountains, and I was lucky to grow up here. So it's been good, and just continue to have good times.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it's, you don't know anything else, right? I mean, like growing up in the mountains, like, did you ever did you live anywhere outside of the mountains? Like,
Nope. Always live in the mountains.
Oh, nice. I'm jealous. So, okay. So like, a little bit outside and out of Asheville. So you have, you can go into there if you want to, but you kind of got a little bit of the outskirts, so you don't have to kind of probably have a little more peace and quiet.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. I lived in Asheville for about 2 years, and that was my fill of it. I like smaller towns, and like to not be able to see my neighbors or deal with people.
But, you know, but there's great hiking.
Yes.
And I guess that's really what I want to point out. So I know we're going to talk a little bit about the Art Loeb Trail. Mm-hmm. And actually, I was just seeing on your Facebook the other day, like, you will go out and hike it all in one day.
Yes.
So it's like a thing you and your friends do, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, not many friends do it. It's kind of a silly, painful adventure. But actually, you know, a few years ago, this is my third year of doing it in a day. I do it annually. I do it on my birth month. Just remind me, I'm getting older and things hurt more. A good friend of mine, he and his wife did it about 10 years ago in a day. And he'd been trying to talk me into doing it for years. And I was just like, that just doesn't sound like fun. And actually, he and his wife were on a travel assignment in California. And one March 3 years ago, I just got a wild hair and went and did it in a day. I did it by myself. And since last year, I had one friend join me. And this year, I had two friends join me. So it's kind of grown from there.
So, So for the for people who may not know about the Art Loeb Trail, let's maybe give a little bit of the specifics and logistics around it. So I think it's a little over 30 miles.
Yep. Yeah, I
Okay.
think the general consensus is about 31 thereabouts, 30.8, somewhere in there.
Okay. So yeah, so I mean, I guess if you say, yeah, it's doable in a day, but these aren't, you know, these are the mountains. They're not like
Yes.
these flat, you
Yes.
know.
The running joke was Art Loeb must have been a sadist because there's nothing flat. There's very little flat, easy sections of the trail. I mean, it's either going up or down or cross ridges. It's very little in the valley. It's a lot of up and down for the most part. It's a trail. It's got about 8,000 feet of vert climbing in it. The southern terminus is in Brevard, North Carolina. It's at in Pisgah National Forest. It's at the Daniel or excuse me Davidson River Campground, and the northern terminus is in just outside of Waynesville. It's in a Camp Daniel Boone. So
Okay,
the whole trail goes all the way through Pisgah National Forest to the Ranger District. So
so it sounds like it's the trailheads are have probably good parking.
yes.
Okay, so you could.
Yes. The one at Camp Daniel Boone, it's kind of a weird situation because you're driving through a camp and you end up on this gravel road and there's not a whole lot of parking there. Depending on the season, you have to kind of scrounge around for a parking spot alongside the dirt road. But on the Brevard side, there's plenty of parking to be had. I mean, you can even park at Lowe's and walk in from there on the Coosa Trail and hit the trailhead from there. So,
Oh wow.
yeah.
So it's just like really just right into town or right
Yep.
outside. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's a greenway that Brevard did that actually connects to the Coosa Trail, which it actually connects the town to Pisgah National Forest. So it's kind of nice. You can just hop on a greenway and be right in the forest.
Oh, that is nice. Wow.
Yeah.
So I know not much about the Art Loeb. I've talked to some people, obviously, who've hiked it, but when I first found out about it, I was at Black Balsam and went out and tried to, you know, watch the sunrise. Wasn't very successful, but eventually found my way up there. Went the other side of the
Yes.
road. Yes.
It
But it was really pretty.
is. Oh,
Either
it's all
way.
very pretty up there.
Yes.
You can't go wrong either direction you go up there.
Yeah, so that was so obviously Black Balsam, it's a bald and it's beautiful, and you know you're going, you're seeing these 360 views and going up there, and it's windy and just gorgeous. And I saw this marker on the top that said Art Loeb, and I was like, what's this about? So that's kind of what sparked my interest of trying to find out more about this trail and you know, talk to people who have hiked it, because that's something I would like to do. Now, you've said you've done it in a day, but obviously you've also done it as backpacking
Oh, yeah.
trips and maybe even some just day sections. So tell me a little bit about how you have backpacked the trail and kind of I guess first, which way do you recommend going, or is there a recommended way?
A lot of people tend to do it from Camp Daniel Boone down to Brevard. It tends to
Okay.
be more downhill that way. But for me personally, if I'm doing it a multi-day, I like to do it from Brevard over to Camp Daniel Boone because you get the views from the balds and the very pretty sections of trail kind of towards the end, which is a nice reward to treat yourself to when you're doing a
That's good.
multi-day. The first day or so, if you're doing it, averaging 10 miles a day, you're kind of in a green tunnel. It's just a lot of forests, and there's not a whole lot of views. And day two or three, you start to really open up and get those views that you've been working for, which is nice. But yeah, actually, I was just out hiking yesterday, and you saw several groups. I saw nobody going from Brevard side up to Daniel Boone, but I saw multiple groups coming down from the Daniel Boone side down.
So if you do it that way, you said roughly you would do about 10 miles a day, then you know what, like 2 nights, 3 days kind of thing.
I've done it longer. I mean, when
You've
I first
stretched it
started
out.
hiking, we definitely stretched out. Some good friends of mine, when we first started doing it, the first time I went on it was in 2006, and some buddies of mine from college, we decided we were going to hike the trail. We'd never done it. I mean, I'd done multiple day hikes on sections of the trail, but we decided we were just going to do the whole thing. It was very poor planning on our part. It was an utter failure. We didn't even finish. We got to we started on day one in November at like 3 o'clock. So we had very little light. Most of the first day we did in the dark until we got to Buttercap Shelter, and we set up camp there. And then the next day we started to hit a pilot, and one of our buddies decided he had enough. There was a Forest Service road there. He said, "I'm just going to hitch back to Asheville." I said, "Good luck," and divvied up his food, and we continued on. And we made it
One down.
one down. Yes. We camped at a couple spots along the way, but we ended up at Shining Rock. And the old maps, when we did this, GPS wasn't as prevalent. I mean, it was around, but it wasn't there. The old maps have, if you look at it, looks like the trail goes right up and over Shining Rock. And there is a very well-established trail that goes to the top of Shining Rock. So we got there, looked around, and you're probably familiar if you've been to the Balls. There's all these interweaving trails and footpaths that people have ventured off trail or done different things. When we got to Shining Rock, it was very foggy, very, very misty. You couldn't see any of your landmarks more than a quarter mile away. And we couldn't get a bearing on where we were. So we just decided we'd keep trekking up and over Shining Rock, because that seemed logical according to the map. And we ended up at the Big East Fork trailhead, which is way, way off course. We spent a night looking. We felt like we were lost, but we weren't 100% sure. And we spent our last night up on the ridge, and we could see the lights of Waynesville, so we figured it was generally the right direction. But we ended up coming out on Highway 276, not the terminus we were hoping for. And my wife came and picked us up, drenched and defeated. And yeah, so that was the first time on the lobe. And then the next year we knew better. I actually went and day hiked the section to find out where we went wrong. And the trail actually goes, if you're hiking from Brevard to Daniel Boone, it actually goes to the left of Shining Rock, which lesson learned. So.
Yes. So, two things that I was thinking of as you were telling me that story. One is, I think what people may not know, I know like people I talk to from the West Coast say, oh, in the late afternoon, by afternoon, thunderstorms come in, and people just know that about Colorado and things. But it seems like in the North Carolina mountains, like weather can just come, and or it can get really foggy, and you can get, a whiteout and kind of things and lose your bearings. So tell me, I guess, first about kind of the navigation aspect of this trail. And you said there's some social trails and things. So is it pretty easy? Do you need, what kind of map are you taking? You're talking a little bit about GPS.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, it's very well marked. Until you get into Shining Rock Wilderness, I mean, the signage is there. You have signs, you have white blazes. Once you get into Shining Rock, the blazes kind of taper off. The trail is not as well maintained. And there's a lot of separate trails. When I started hiking it, I was using the National Geographic map of the area, and that's what I did most of my hiking on. That's how I grew up, was doing map and compass. But yeah, I mean, GPS is readily available. I mean, technology on the watch, phone, anybody with a smartphone can essentially go out there and do it now. And
Do you have
typically now
decent,
there's a lot. Okay.
I was gonna say, do you have decent service through there? As I recall, like you just, it's hit and miss, like
Yeah.
top of Balds maybe might get some,
Yeah.
but.
Yeah, on the Balls, you do. Once you get down in some of the recesses of the mountains, its service can be very patchy, and it's not always reliable. There's periods of 7 to 8 miles where you won't get any service, and then you hit a ridge, and somehow you get 4 bars, and you can get whatever you need, and then move on. But
The second, I guess, question for you was around lodging, because you were talking about staying at Buttercap, right? Buttercap Shelter. So, are there, I guess, depending on how are you, if you're doing it, whether it's 3, 4 days, 2 nights, however you do it, what's the camping like? Are there shelters? Are you setting up right off trail?
There are two shelter options. There's one, it's the Deep Gap Shelter, which is just before you, or depending on which direction you're doing, is it's right in the Farlow Gap vicinity. And then there's another trail, another shelter at Buttercap. Those are the two shelters. But dispersed camping, there's not the step, true, like you have to camp here camp spots. I mean, there's dispersed camping all throughout the National Forest, so you can pretty much camp wherever you find a good spot. There's lots of well-established sites just off trail. There's lots of side trails. If you go up, you can find some pretty sweet camp spots. So.
Is it all then kind of wilderness, public lands as you're going through, or do you stop through any kind of established camps, grounds, or anything?
The southern terminus in Brevard, if you start at the trailhead marker, is at Davison River Campground, but that's the only campground per se you'll
Yeah.
pass.
All right. What about water sources and I guess water depending on time of year? There you go.
Water, it can be hit or miss. I mean, if you're in a dry, some summers are drier than others, and water has been a challenge some summers during drought conditions. But there are several. You're typically no more than 10 miles away from a water source. It's not real plentiful. There's a lot of the water sources you're looking for are pretty much springs and very small streams. But yeah, I mean, the trail goes along ridge lines and tops of mountains and doesn't really follow valleys, so you don't get a lot of real plentiful water, if that makes sense.
Okay, so did you carry some in and then also just filter it, or what do you do when you're making it?
I start typically with a liter, and then once you get to Butter Gap, there's a pretty well-established source. There's several streams you'll cross, or very small streams you'll cross just before you get to Butter Gap. Then beyond that, your next source you're looking at is beyond Pilot at the Deep Gap Shelter. And then after that, you have pretty limited sources until you get to Shining Rock. You can take a detour off to the Mountains and Sea Trail once you cross it, like at the Black Balsam area where the road where everybody parks. It crosses the Mountains and Sea, and you can actually get on the Mountains and Sea and take it about a quarter mile down. There's a spring that runs pretty consistently down there. You can get water before you get to Shining Rock if you need it.
So since you've done it from, I guess 2006, right, was the first time. So you've had a lot of years of kind of
Five
hiking it
years.
and knowing. You're talking about, oh, if you go down this little path, you have the good side or have you, I guess first, have you seen, well, kind of, I know this is, I already know the answer to this one. How have you seen like traffic increase? From, I guess, when you first start hiking it
Oh,
to today.
yeah, a lot, a lot. It's become a very popular trail, and mainly because of the scenery off of Black Balsam. It's very readily accessible. It's right off the Blue Ridge Parkway. I mean, you can park and literally walk a quarter of a mile, and you get this amazing view. That has, I guess, spawned a lot of interest in the trail itself. But when COVID hit, that it really blew up. Actually, my friend and I last year that were hiking, we were doing the day hike from Camp Daniel Boone, and it was just after everything started shutting down and schools are closing because of COVID, and businesses were closing, employees were out of work, students weren't in school, and we were hiking, and we were coming up. We started the hike pretty early, and we were coming up past Shining Rock. Saw our normal groups of campers we see there, and then as we got up on Tennant, you could just look down the park. You could see the parkway from there, and just cars lining the roadway. And as you could look over to Black Balsam from Tennant Mountain and just see people, just throngs of people on the mountain. And as you got closer and closer, just the masses were there. And it was kind of funny because, I mean, once you cross the road, probably where you went when you got lost, it was just crickets. There was nobody there. But I mean, the easy access to that trail and that trailhead and the views, just people just love it, and they go there in droves. But yeah, it's become a very popular trail over the years. It wasn't that much. You used to be able to hike it and not see, maybe 10, 20 people, and now you can't. You see that in 5 miles some days.
So, what about then time of year? I know, I think I went in September-ish, when I actually was in that area, if I recall, is sometime around there. When, I mean, you've probably hiked it, throughout the year, but are there certain times that you like to recommend?
I like the spring and fall. Early fall is really nice. Just as the leaves are changing, you lessen the chance of running into thunderstorms and things of that nature. The bugs have kind of settled down a little bit. You get some cooler nights. I like camping cooler weather typically. And It's just nice. It's very pretty. It's quiet. A lot of tourists have gone home from the summer vacationers and such. So it's a little bit more quiet on the trail. Spring's nice too. You get the greenery and a lot of wildflowers out there that you can see, and it's a nice fresh smelling trail when you're out there in the spring. So
Have you ever done it in the winter months?
have yeah the first time I did it was in late November, and it was cold. It didn't run a lot of We didn't have snow that year, but it was very very cold and damp that year, and it was an adventure, but it wasn't very fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's totally doable.
The parkway and places around there can close down depending on the weather too, or because they don't treat the roads or plow the roads and things like that. So probably a little more challenging to get to certain sections during that time too.
But it's kind of nice too, because you don't run into as many people on the easy access parts in the winter. So,
Yeah. So what are some of the sections if well, obviously Black Balsam, we talked about that, but are there any other sections that you could just maybe go for, a few miles, maybe kind of do a loop or out and back if maybe just want to do a day hike and not a full-on backpack.
Yeah, I mean, anything from the Black Balsam area is gorgeous. I mean, there's several mountains you can get to from there. If you're willing to push a little bit beyond Shining Rock, and go to the Stairs Mountain and the Narrows section of the trail, that's gorgeous. And I mean, it's really pretty because it's a very rocky ridge, and you have exposure on both sides, so you feel like you're on a very narrow kind of mountainside, but and you've got these really nice views, either direction you look at, and you can see Cold Mountain in the distance. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, those are my favorite, like the exposed, the ridges and
I mean, the lower section on the Brevard side has some very pretty stuff too. I mean, there's some very nice forested sections if you just want to be in the woods. That's a good place to be too. I mean, starting from Brevard, you can connect with the Cat Gap Trail off of the Fish Hatchery. You can take Cat Gap and actually connect with the Dart Lobe, and depending on how big of a loop you're looking to do, you can make a lot of different routes from that area, the Fish Hatchery.
And that's near where?
It's if you're cruising down 276, like if you're coming from Brevard and going 276, follow it up, and it's a Forest Service maintained fish hatchery that where they have a lot of trout, and there's trailheads off of that side. You can see John's Rock and connect to Cat Gap and Butter Gap, and from there the Art Lobe if you want, just depending.
Tell me about doing it in one day. Let's walk through like how you do that. Like what time do you get up? When are you hitting the trailhead?
Typically, I'm up at 3, and we're leaving my house. Like I said, I live on the Brevard side, so we're leaving my house to go to Camp Daniel Boone. I prefer, if I'm doing it a day, to do it from the Daniel Boone side down to Brevard, because I'm ending closer to home, but also it's a little more forgiving that way. You get a nice big climb out of the way at first, and it's kind of more gradual as opposed to having a nasty climb at the end of a day at a big day. But yeah, I mean, you get up early and just start walking. Just walk all day. Take some breaks as you need them. We felt pretty lame. I mean, you think of doing 30 miles hiking in a day as big, but then last year we were stopped at a water source, and like these trail runners, there's a group of trail runners that run it all the time. And these trail runners came by, and they were actually yo-yoing it. They had done it one direction the day before, and they were doing it the opposite direction the next day. It was just like, you guys are crazy. So I'm not much of a runner, but like that was just very humbling. And like, oh yeah, we're hiking in a day. But like, when they're running it in like 7 hours, it's taking you like 13 to 15.
Okay, so that's what I was going to ask you. Like, how long does it take you? And are you finishing in the dark?
Yes. Yeah, typically start in the dark and end in the dark, depending on your time of year. I mean, if you did in the summer, you may be able to eke it out in the daylight, but
But if you're
typically
trying to do it in March, then, right? You said so March. You're starting to get some additional daylight, but you're still don't have long days.
I've never finished it in the daylight. Probably won't ever either, but
So what kind of I guess because whether you're doing it in a day or not, like what kind of food are you taking with you?
Yeah, I mean, your typical backpacking fare, dehydrated meals, snack, whatever snacks you like, it's going to pick you up through the day. Snickers bars, Clif bars, things of that nature. Yeah, during a day hike, I focus a lot on really calorie dense food, like peanut butter, and go to the local bakery and get a bunch of pastries and load those up because those are easy. And yeah, peanut butter, Clif bars, things like that. Nothing I have to cook. I just like to eat as I'm going.
So that was, oh, that reminded me of something I want to ask you. So if you're doing it, like most people, like I would, overnight,
Yes, that's preferable.
do you need to hang your food or?
Yeah, technically, from the point where you cross over to Black Balsam, you're supposed to have a bear can in that
Okay.
area.
All right.
Before preceding that, you can do a bear hang. There are a lot of black bears in the area, and they've become very accustomed to people leaving their food around, so they get a little nosy. And it's been more of a problem in the Shining Rock area. That's why the bear can law hasn't been a thing until the past 5 years when the
Okay.
popularity kind of boomed of it. So.
Yeah. I mean, even when I went, which was 2019, so it was before COVID, and I mean there was a lot of trash around. You saw a trash, and then you saw like just tents where you're like, I don't think there's someone in there. I don't know what they're doing. People leaving their tents there, or they just,
I mean, it's funny, you'll come across abandoned campsites that's been left there. I mean, I don't know whether it's kids going out not feeling like they want to hike their gear back out, or good old boy club just going out and having a good night and forgetting their stuff the next day. Who knows?
You were talking a little about the elevation being 8,000, right? Okay. So, and you're saying if you go from Brevard, it's what is it, the higher climb when you start out or
From the Brevard side, it's a little more gradual. I mean,
gradual?
either way, you got a fairly steep climb, but like it's not as prolonged as if you're coming from the Daniel Boone side. When you come up that side, you pretty much got a 4 mile sustained climb until you get to a ridge from the Daniel Boone side. So.
Since it isn't like a long trip, how are you packing? Like, what kind of tent? What kind of gear do you take with you?
I've done a variety of things over the years. I mean, I used to do hammock camping, but lately I've just gotten out of the hammocks. Most time I just carry a lightweight tent or a tarp if I'm going out. That's my preferred shelter. I don't like staying at the shelters. I like some of the more remote campsites on the way. But yeah, a tent, hammock. There's plenty of trees unless you're planning on camping up on the balds, and then you need a tent because there's no trees up there to hang a hammock from.
I don't know if I would want to actually camp on the bald because it gets pretty windy up there.
Very windy in the summertime. It's very exposed. During the summer in Western Carolina, you're going to get a thunderstorm, be it, a couple hours to a half day event of thunderstorm. So, it's not a great place to be set up during the summer.
What are some other places around that area that you'd recommend to go check out to hike or? Or like to just go, visit after you get off trail.
Yeah, I mean, Pisgah National Forest, you've got over, I want to say 350 miles, 400 miles of trail that is open to the public. So, I mean, you can pick your flavor of what kind of hike you want to do there. DuPont State Forest is just down the way as well. It's nice, a little bit more crowded than you'll find in Pisgah, but it's also very pretty. There's a lot of waterfalls there. It's very scenic. As far as towns go, they're very small. There's Brevard. If you want bigger cities, there's Asheville and Hendersonville within 40-minute drive from Brevard. And on the other side of Camp Daniel Boone, there's Waynesville, which is nice, has a nice downtown scene, lots of restaurants and several breweries at each of those towns. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty much outdoor driven here. There's not a whole lot else going on unless you go to Asheville and want a piece of city life. That's just a lot of outdoor opportunity. So.
So you've focused a lot on the Artlobe, but what other like trails do you go on or longer trails or what other backpacking trips have you taken?
Kind of piece together routes over the years. I just take a map of Pisgah, look at where I want to go. If something looks interesting, that's kind of how I do it. That's how I grew up doing it with my dad. We'd been in the Smokies, some pretty stuff out there. Mostly in Pisgah National Forest is where I tend to stay. That's kind of my home playground. It's convenient, it's close. It's just go out
Okay.
there and
So then, besides Art Loeb, then, and then in Pisgah, what are your top three hikes out there then that you would recommend?
Top three hikes. Anywhere from Black Balsam. I mean, if you want views, that's and it's very popular, but that's it's popular for a reason. It's very pretty and very scenic up there. You can make a long day or a short day of it, just depending on how you want to piece it together. That's a good one. The Cat Gap to John's Rock Loop from the Fish Hatchery, that's also a very good one. Also, John's Rock is very popular. If you want to avoid a lot of the people, you can take Cat Gap up from the backside and avoid a lot of the foot traffic going up to the rock itself. It's a very easy hike to the rock, and it gets a lot of visitors. If it's 2 miles from one side, or if you do the Cat Gap loop, it's more like a 6-7 mile loop from that side. So
Okay.
you get less traffic there, and you get some very pretty scenery through there. That's a good one of my favorites. And trying to think, a buddy of mine got me on this quick easy loop. Well, it's not easy, but it's a quick loop. It's right out of the Davis River campground. If you start out on at Davison River Campground, follow the exercise trail, which follows the Davison River. You can actually connect to the Art Loeb Connector. It's a very steep, short, punchy climb, but it's about 2 miles up, and then you get along the Art Loeb there, and you can take the ridge back down to the Acusta Trail and loop back to the campground, which is pretty fun. That's a convenient one from town if you don't have a lot of time to spend. But the Daniel Ridge loop in Pisgah is also very good. Get some waterfalls, and it's good either direction you do it. You can do it counterclockwise or clockwise. It's fun both ways.
And how long is that one?
5, 6 miles.
Okay. So nice. Those ones are nice kind of day hikes, you know, just something to get out there. If you're trying to get a little bit more acclimated to the hiking out there and checking things out. Yeah, those are good suggestions. So I'm gonna put them on my list.
Yes, absolutely.
So what have you got planned for the late spring and summer? Anything going on?
Late spring in May, I'm planning on doing the Foothills Trail. I'm going to be doing that one. I've got kind of in mid-May, I'm going to be doing that for the summer. Otherwise, just day hikes and a lot of mountain biking. I do a lot of mountain biking and fly fishing here as well. So those are always on the hit list too. So,
Okay, so although this is a hiking podcast, I'll ask
yes.
you what are your places that you go? What are some mountain biking trails or different places you list them out?
For beginners, DuPont's great. There's a lot of
Okay.
it's a very popular place for cyclists. Some good riding to be had there, very scenic. And then in Pisgah, Black Mountain's awesome. It's kind of a Pisgah staple. Everybody knows about Black Mountain, and that's what a lot of people come to ride there. Bennett Gap, and Avery Creek. Those are probably my three favorite in Pisgah: Black Mountain, Avery Creek, and Bennett Gap. But they're very technical. They're not for beginners.
Okay. And so, kind of like how long are the loops, I guess, so to give people an idea or how long, you know.
12 to 15 miles.
Okay. All right. I'm not a mountain biker,
It's all good.
I know people who are, so.
That's actually my primary sport. Like, honestly, hiking was something I did while I was injured, typically. You know, if I couldn't ride my bike, I was hiking. But like in the past 4 or 5 years, actually, I've gotten more into the hiking side and like taking it more seriously and been doing it more, throwing it in the mix, because it's nice to see terrain that you normally are just
Was in
flying
that,
through.
yeah.
You're flying through it. It puts a different perspective on it. You get
But
to slow down and take things in a little bit more.
do you feel like you're going too slow sometimes?
Depends. Depends on who I'm hiking with. Some of my friends hike pretty fast, so I don't feel like
Okay.
I'm going too.
I know, but for someone who likes to, you know, kind of be going on the bike, it's just a whole
It's
different
nice though.
thing.
It's just
Okay.
different. It's different flavor.
All right. Okay. Well, I appreciate you talking with me this evening, Zach. It was nice to chat with you.
Well, likewise. Thanks for having me, Laura. I appreciate
Yeah.
it.
Yeah. So how can people kind of follow and see what you're doing out there and maybe ask you questions or ask about riding too or hiking?
I mean, Zach Cuss on Facebook or Instagram. That's
Okay.
me. So
All
that's
right.
probably the easiest way to reach me.
Okay. I'll put a link in the show notes. And now you have me missing the mountains.
There, come on down.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot and hope you have a good night and happy belated birthday.
Thank you. Appreciate
All
it. Have a
right.
good
All
one.
right.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you, Zach, for sharing your favorite places to hike and to mountain bike in North Carolina. And also, I want to thank you for telling me all about the Art Loeb Trail. It's one that's high on my list, and hopefully, I will get to hike part of it sometime soon. Please check the show notes for ways to connect with Zach. And also, I put all of the hikes that he was talking about in the show notes, links to more information, as well as the mountain biking. And listeners, if you're enjoying the show, here are some ways that you can help me. Leave me a 5-star rating and review. That really does help get the show noticed and get it higher in the rankings. The second thing, you could also share it with your friends, put it on your social media. I'd really love to build some more momentum around this podcast. And finally, another way to help the show is to make a donation. You can go to my Patreon page where you can find out more information about ways you can support the show and exclusive benefits that you receive. You can find me at The Hike Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and you can always email me hikepodcast@gmail.com. So until next time, see you on the trail.